I'm sure that all of us, at times, are gripped by the feeling that life is just too much for us. At times, circumstances seem to be in control of us, because it is certainly clear that we are not in control of them. William Henley wrote in the Invictus, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." But our inclination at times is to think and feel just the opposite, that we are the victims of our fate, and that life is beating us down and there's not really a great deal that we can do about it. Now, to feel that way is really not that unusual, but if we do accept that feeling and then surrender to it, it could mean a serious defeat. What we need to do at times like that is remind ourselves that all of life is really made up of two elements. First, the facts and the events and all the things that happen to us. And secondly, the interpretation of those facts, our personal way of looking at them, the meaning that we ascribe to them. And of these two elements, the second one is at least as important as the first one. Now, with that thought in mind, let us look for just a moment at the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Obviously, it was written to a group of people who at that time were going through some tough times. And so the writer devoted the part of the letter that we just heard trying to help those people go through their struggle. The intriguing thing is the kind of help that he gave them. He did not tell them that their troubles were going to cease, just all go away, and that happy days would be just around the corner for them. All that he did was simply give them a new way of looking at their troubles. What he did was take some quotations from the Old Testament scriptures, which speaks about the loving discipline that God so often gives to his people. And then he wrote, "Endure your trials as the discipline of God." Now that's all he offered. But what a gift it was for those people at that time who were so familiar with seeing God in the Old Testament as an angry deity. And so far as we know, the circumstances of those Hebrew people did not change, they remained the same. But they were now told that they could change everything simply by changing their point of view. Their tough times were now no longer to be seen as cruel blows of some kind of an impersonal fate or the retribution of an angry deity. They were now the purposeful discipline of loving Father, and that could make all the difference in the world. And that is why we can say that our gift of Christianity can be described in a number of different ways: theologically, organizationally, ethically. But it can also be seen as simply a way of interpreting our life. And that is what that reading is all about: a Christian interpretation of our trials and tribulations. Now, as we try to apply that truth to ourselves, consider how very much of our happiness is really dependent upon our personal interpretation of life. Now, this is not to deny the importance of the circumstances of our life. Remember that there are so many people today who are so crushed by the tragic conditions under which they are forced to live, that happiness for them is not even an issue. Those kind of people would settle for just one day with enough to eat and just 1 hour to be able to live without pain. But having said that, we are still faced with the plain fact that some of the most miserably unhappy people that we know do live in the very midst of fortunate circumstances. And some of the happiest people we know do not live in fortunate circumstances. And the deep difference between our happiness and our unhappiness lies not so much in the facts as in the interpretation that we place upon those facts. The need that we all have to develop our inner resources through prayer, meditation, mortification, to realize, is another way of saying this, that whatever it is that we receive, be it a trial or a gift, is always received according to the person receiving it, the attitude that that person has. That's what we mean when we say that beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. How have we prepared ourselves to receive the ongoing events of life? Call to mind for just a moment some of the most radiantly happy people that you know. And I dare say it would be a strange assortment, some young, some old, a few rich, most of them poor, some blind or crippled, and some in the bloom of health. But if you wonder how happiness can be so independent of circumstances, then here is the answer: that all of life is simply composed of those two elements, the facts and the interpretation that we place upon those facts that we live with. And so often the facts of our lives are simply beyond our control. There may be nothing at all that we can do about them to change them, but the interpretation that we place upon those facts is always within our power. We can and we must decide that for ourselves. And our reading today says, endure your trials as a discipline of God, who deals with you as the daughters and the sons of the Father. That simply means it's an interpretation of the facts of life. Now let us take all of this just one more step further and recognize that such an outlook on life is more than simply an act of the will. It is really the outgrowth of a great philosophy that is based upon what we call gospel values. And that is where the precious gift of our religious faith comes in. Our faith now is so imperative to live out that philosophy. Our faith and its use is the only way that I know of that can supply you and me with any kind of adequate philosophy on which to base our lives. And the Christian gospel and its values, it's more than all of the creeds that have sought to explain it. The gospel values are more than all of the organizations that have tried to express it. And the Christian gospel that is our gift is, in one sense, this great philosophy, this great wisdom that lays its hands on the facts of our life and gives our life a new and a fresh interpretation. Now, let me illustrate that from the pages of the Bible. You remember just a few weeks ago, we read from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, where the writer was thinking about the mystery of life and death, the meaning of life. And you remember what he said. How is it that the wise man dies as well as the fool? Therefore I loathed life, and for all his vanity and a chase after the wind. But then a few weeks later we read another passage here from the New Testament where another man was pondering the very same mystery of life, the great issues, and here is what he wrote. Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, be steadfast and persevering, my beloved, and know that your toil in your work is never in vain when it is done in the Lord. For we are members of the Lord's body, in whom we live. The same set of facts. The only difference is the interpretation that Christ has given to the Apostle Paul. The big difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, God is our Father, Jesus is our brother and our friend. Tomorrow you and I will go back to face the same world where the facts will be pretty much the same as they were last week. There's very little that we can do to change them, but we can change our attitude toward the facts that we live with this week. Christianity, in one very real sense, is a fresh and new interpretation of the same old facts of our ongoing life. But meanwhile, remember that each day that is given to us as a gift, in each moment, is so precious that whatever we receive during those days and moments is always received according to the way that we are open to receive them. Beauty is always in the eye of the beholder, and that depends upon our attitude. Thank you.
Let us pray. Encouraged by the saving word of God, let us offer our prayer in confidence, that people of every land may come to know that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For our Jewish sisters and brothers, the first to hear the word of God, we pray to the Lord.